Okay, so we're just talking about the next bit, which was when you moved from London because it was getting too intense, and
Yes.
the British government decided to move people out to Northern
Yes.
Ireland.
Yes. So they took us by train. I think it was to Liverpool, and by ship across to Londonderry, is it? Is that where, is there a dock there, or is it
Probably
Belfast?
Belfast, yes.
Belfast, from Liverpool to Belfast. And we were put in huts, Nissen huts. Not, I suppose, the best kind of accommodation, really, but one has to get used to it.
It must have been strange because suddenly being in the middle of nowhere when you'd been in central London, I mean, for your mother, imagine.
I don't think it was a very happy time for any of the older people. How they coped, having led such a sheltered life, really. First being brought to London, and one makes the best of it. I think that's what people do.
Try and describe the Nissen hut to me, what it was like.
Ah, well, that was, it wasn't very comfortable, but you had space, you see, where before you were restricted to a building, this was surrounded by fields. The only vivid thing about it was that I remember they must have been cooking, and there was a frying pan on a stove, and I thought it was cold, and I put my hand on it. So I burned the whole of the ball of my hand, which wasn't very pleasant. And in ignorance, people then used to put butter on the burn, which cooked. So what happened was that my hand cooked instead of getting better, instead of putting it into cold water, or, and we had a Nissen hut with bunks, and I was only, I think, about, by then I think I must have been 10. So my mother slept with the children in one part of the Nissen hut, and my grandmother and my aunt, and I think my little brother, who was by then a few years, slept in another one. We even had a pet cock, which was called Peter, which used to run around. And I used to play with other children in the fields. And my good friend Charlie Caruana, who later became one day a bishop, we used to go and play in the fields, and we used to pinch turnips from the fields, wash them in the stream, peel them with our teeth, and then eat them, which was great fun.
Do you think that was for fun, or were you hungry?
No. N we were never hungry. On Sundays in London, my mother would send the older children to a restaurant, either to Fulham or Hammersmith, or sometimes to Lion's Corner House. No, you weren't hungry at all. We had very good clothes because my father used to send enough money, so that wasn't a problem. And in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, I used to go shopping. As I say, I think I was only 10. My sister and I, but sometimes only on my own. And when I think of it now, I think, good gracious, I wouldn't have done that to my son. But this is the way one is. We would get a bus to the border, cross the frontier into Free Island, and do all our shopping there about once a week, and bus it all the way back.
And were you there long enough to be at school?
No. I think it was only months, and I'm sure that there wasn't time to organise any sort of educational system.
And just going back to the Nissen huts, you were saying that, you know, you were in one part and your aunt. So was it? Did each family have a hut of their own?
I suppose if they were big enough, you know.
How many huts were there? Masses?
Well, quite a number. It was a camp. It was called Ballymena, I think. There was a camp, and it had Red Cross, I suppose it was, or some kind of a health system. I think I spent most of my time in the fields, and it was such a lovely feeling of being free, and you didn't have to run in because the bombs were falling, you know?
Yeah, fantastic, after what you'd been through. I was going to ask about how your mother and your grandmother kept sort of the notion of Gibraltar alive in all of you, because a child can forget very easily.
We didn't. No, my mother was a very extraordinary woman. In fact, I think she was so happy living in England that I have a feeling, and I think she might have mentioned it, that if my father hadn't said, we have to go back to Gibraltar, she would have stayed happily. It's the freedom of space. Having lived in a tiny little, 2.5 by 3/4 of a mile, then, not now.
I mean, I can understand that, and also perhaps it was the sort of, that even though there were other Gibraltarians there, you know, perhaps she had a bit more anonymity there than, I'm presuming in Gibraltar everybody knows everything about everyone.
Yes, very possible. Yes, it could be. I think she just enjoyed the space that you got a bus or a taxi. I do remember, funnily enough, now that I've mentioned a taxi, getting off the bus in Kensington Church Street, going between two buses, as one does, to cross the road across to St. John's Church at the bottom, and ending up under a taxi. And two very nice old ladies in the taxi having hysterics because they thought I was dead. And then the taxi cab, I do remember quite, stop the car, gets out, look, and there's me between the wheels. But it was entirely my fault.
You sound a bit of a cat with nine lives to me.
Well... Yeah, I suppose. Yes, I've always been a survivor, I think.
While we're still, we'll just do going back to Gibraltar.
Yeah.
But while we're just still on this bit and we're remembering London, I'm interested by the way you talk about it. And
yes.
You know, geographically it's very strong and the buildings are still there and
yes.
All the rest of it.
Yes.
I mean, when did you go back? Did you go back and revisit everywhere?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm here. Because when I went back to Gibraltar, I mean, I've had a charmed life, very privileged, but my mind was always here. Also, my wife will tell you different, I'm not very happy in very hot weather. I was very ill when I was small. The day that I put my foot in England, my illness stopped. And the day that I went back to Gibraltar, that very day my illness started again. I had terrible asthma. And the specialist, a Spanish man, who was an excellent fellow, marvellous specialist, said that I was allergic to seawater.
That's pretty unfortunate, isn't it, for Gibraltar? Yeah. God, how extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, we'll talk about that when we get to that bit then. So, now you're in Ireland, you've been there a couple of months.
Yes.
Do you remember what a time of year it was? I mean, you had these stoves. Did you have to have them on all the time? Was it freezing?
No. I got sunstroke, so it must have been very hot. I remember having sunstroke and being very shivery and the mattress getting very wet. So it must have been summer, I suppose. Couldn't have been any other time. And then the fear, I can't even remember rain in Ireland, strangely enough, for some reason. I don't think children do remember rain very much.
No, I don't think you're right, actually. Isn't that funny?
It's always summer.
Mm, mm.
You know, when one hears people say, oh, summer dresses, the girls in summer dresses. But it's always raining.
It is. It's always raining, especially in Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah.
And mostly in the summer here. But our summers, I think, in London, except for a few, must have been pretty good, because we used to go to picnics to wherever, and it must have rained. I'm sure it must have rained.
I think what we've missed lately is that we haven't had those summer evenings.
Yes.
You know, English summer evenings are so beautiful.
And they went on and on and on. And it's light until 10:30. Funnily enough, I don't mind the dark in the winter. Sometimes I get rather angry when it's light and you can't go out, don't you?
Oh, yes. I mean, when it's dark, you have to get on and do some work.
Yes.
If it's beautiful outside, I feel really resentful.
Yes, exactly. But when it's what one calls summer and it's raining, it's miserable, really.
And disappointing.
Yes, depressing.
Yeah, it's true, mm. It's true. Yeah, it's
yes.
A funny thing, isn't it?
Yes. And we had friends when we lived in... There was an old lady in the corner of Bedford Walk who had the most beautiful house. She was an Irish lady, married to, I don't know. And Queen Mary used to come. With the two little girls. So this huge, huge car, you know, it was like a coffin, the car, you know, hearse. And she'd get out, you see this tiny little woman in blue. So it was quite interesting.
Well, there is something about being in London, being in the centre of it all.
Yes, yes, yeah. As a child, went to Trafalgar Square to see all the pigeons and stuff. Yeah. And being taken to the Albert Hall for a music awareness, I think it's called, is it? Something like that?
Yes, sort of, yes. What was it called? Appreciation.
Appreciation. Music appreciation. On a Saturday, the whole school to the Albert Hall and then listen to an orchestra.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. I mean, it's been most fascinating.